Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
They were supported last year. I mean, so obviously not Pickens.
The corpse of Big Ben.
Small Ben, as we call, right? I mean, right. That's, by the way, shout out to Jay Croucher. That's his joke, not mine. But I'm stealing it because he's not here. He's getting served by kangaroos on the beach again.
To me, the key is the bow tie.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
I stole your joke. But I didn't steal your gig. You're back here with us, Jay Croucher, lead trader of PointsBet. I am Matthew Berry, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's. Welcome, Applebee's.
Welcome.
My blatant begging for a sponsor has gotten us a sponsor.
Been on the streets.
There we go. We love Applebee's here. We love beer. We love Australians. We also love kangaroos who bring us beer. Was that what you were actually doing this weekend?
Exactly. It's just such a ridiculous visual. The kangaroos bringing me. What am I talking about with the kangaroos? Like the state of the economy? Brexit?
No. You're like, thank you very much. Thanks for the beer. Get me another. How about that? Can I see your apps? Yeah. Can I see your menu for apps?
Yeah, it's good.
Can I get a little shrimp on the bobby?
Shrimp on the bobby.
Right.
Oh, that's
bad. Yeah. Or, you know, can I get a Vegemite sandwich out here with my beer?
No, again.
Spam? You guys also like spam, right?
We don't like spam, and we definitely don't like Vegemite at all. It's not edible. It's not good. I don't know.
What do all Australians like? Please speak for the entire continent.
Meat pies.
Meat
like
pies?
Like 4 and 20 meat pies. I don't think you can even get them here.
Right.
But it's a pastry with just meat flush in the middle. It's magnificent. It's the only food thing I missed.
It sounds awful.
It's good. You should try it.
We'll
have a kangaroo.
Your favorite movie of all time is Point Break, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Unassailable.
Point Break and meat pies. There we go. Luckily, you know a lot about sports, so let's get right into our Roto-World headlines here. And Najee Harris told reporters he had a sprained lisfranc in camp.
Not ideal.
That is not ideal. Now, he should be fine for the regular season. How concerned are you? Like, I currently have him running back 7, going 12th overall. On Yahoo, he's going as running back 6, 8th overall. This is somebody that we expect to have a heavy workload this year. He had a heavy workload last year in his rookie season. I don't know. Like, what does this make you nervous at all? It's a weird one, right?
What a weird Sunday for the Steelers. At one point, it looked like they'd lost TJ Watt, Deontay Johnson, and Najee Harris.
Yeah.
All on the same day, which is just chaos that has never
before
not
good.
Seen. But, look, I think
Trubisky was fine, though. Don't you worry.
Trubisky was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one deep ball.
Yeah.
I think with Najee Harris, I mean, the fact that he played in a preseason game and was still 2 weeks out from the season, I think health-wise, he's probably fine. I would still be more worried about the fact that he still has that offensive line, that quarterback situation. I mean, he was good last year, and he averaged 3.9 yards per carry. So does he have any pathway to being efficient? He's going to get the volume. He'll be fine. Yeah. But I just don't think he's going to be a guy who averages 4.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you know, the offensive line still needs to improve. But I actually think that Trubisky under center helps Najee Harris. We've seen this before. Mm. Mobile quarterbacks help running backs, generally speaking. And, again, I've said this till I'm blue in the face, the Steelers got a quarterback upgrade this year.
Yes, they
Whatever
did.
You think of Mitch Trubisky, he is better than Small Ben from last year.
Small Ben,
your joke. So I feel like, I'm not adjusting my rankings on Harris. I will say, however, that, and this is sort of my philosophy again, I'm a insurance back guy. Mm. So late in my draft, if I drafted Harris, I'd want to get Benny Snell.
Yep.
And I believe he is going to be the insurance running back for Najee Harris if anything were to happen to him. Also, by the way, that same game as you mentioned, Deontay Johnson leaves the game early with an injury. Tomlin said after the game, like, if this were a regular season game, he probably could have come back. Any concerns about him? You know, does this affect your ADP on Claypool or George Pickens? You changing your ranks or adjustment on that at all?
Not so much. I mean, every man, woman, and their dog was going to back George Pickens for Offensive Rookie of the Year as soon as Deontay Johnson went down. But it seems like nothing. It didn't really look like nothing. But if it is, I think that's fine. We just continue to treat Johnson as he was. He's still the clear receiver that you want on that team. Pickens is the guy with the upside. If Deontay Johnson goes down, then all the George Pickens hype becomes real.
Right,
of course. Because he is a true X receiver. He has that skill set. Claypool as well, his value would also go up. But no, I'm not too worried about Deontay Johnson. He doesn't really have a big injury history.
Chase Claypool drives me crazy. And I'm not like the world's biggest Chase Claypool fan. But I will say, I'm telling you, him lining up out of the slot this year, it's going to be a problem. I get that George Pickens is like the young, you know, he's the sexy pick, and like he's got all the buzz, and he's making some splashy plays in the preseason.
Sexy Pickens.
Sexy Pickens. I see what you did there. And you told me that like he's currently the odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah. There's like four guys who all pretty much have the same odds. One of them, his teammate, Kenny Pickett, who's the, I think, the quarterback who probably has the most upside.
Yeah.
But that's the state of the Offensive Rookie of the Year market, is that a guy who's not even starting is among the favorites. So really, it's
who
just
is
calculated.
It? It's Pickens. It's Pickett.
It's Chris Olave.
And
then also Breece Hall, because Breece Hall, this is a thing where fantasy meets betting, where Breece Hall's going as the top rookie, ADP, clearly. And that informs the betting lines, because the fact is that, you know, he has a pathway to get usage, even though we like Michael Carter.
Right.
But that's the state of the market. Pickens, at the moment, I don't think he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but if Deontay Johnson goes down, then he should be the favorite.
Yeah, the question becomes about Pittsburgh is just, you know, again, you saw those guys there. We know Harrison can be involved in the passing game. Pat Freiermuth, who I like a lot as well. It's just, you know, is there going to be enough volume to support them under Mitch Trubisky-led offense? I really think there will be. So we'll see. Certainly, Pickens and Claypool both, you know, going outside the top 40, Pickens slightly ahead of Claypool. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I do think both guys are worth dart throws at the end of your draft. And again, Tomlin said no long-term concerns about Deontay Johnson.
So you have like a list of random tight ends that you really like that you carry around like a piece of paper in your wallet?
So yeah,
like
right here.
Mo Alie-Cox. Pat Freiermuth.
Yep.
Logan Thomas, obviously.
He's not an obscure rookie. He's not an obscure tight end, but sure. Yeah, Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett, whatever.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely. Yeah. Like, we keep going down the list.
Who's
like,
the guy? James O'Shaughnessy?
James O'Shaughnessy back in the day. I did have a thing for James O'Shaughnessy. And, you know,
whatever.
I do like my obscure tight ends because, I'll tell you why, when we get a shot of it, back there in the corner, Waller the Baller, number 83, we got him hanging up there in out of respect because called him. And, like, you know, so sometimes my obscure tight end, I was the first guy on Waller being like, I'm telling you guys, you know, so anyway, there you go. That's why I got the show here. And look at that, Applebee's in the back. We love you, Applebee's.
All right,
here's a concern. Cam Akers status still to be determined for week one. Andrew Whitworth retired. Austin Corbett, of course, now left the Rams to go to the Panthers in free agency. So a bit of concern on the offensive line here. We're way too high on Cam Akers just as a community. He's going as running back 17 on Yahoo, 38th overall. I am at 17. I'm too high on Cam, too. I thought he was going to start the season. This news is concerning. I've been talking about the fact that I feel like Daryl Henderson is undervalued.
Yep.
That I think this is going to be more of a committee. That McVay, Henderson's had trouble staying healthy in his career. Cam Akers has had trouble staying healthy in his career. It's going to be a committee here. Both guys have been very productive when they've been out there on the field. And then Kyren Williams. Sean McVay did not want to play him in the last preseason game. He said, quote, he sees him as, quote, an integral part of the plan for the season. So they didn't want to risk injury to Kyren Williams and didn't play him in the last preseason game. Are we looking at a three-headed monster here for the Los Angeles Rams in their running back position? And more importantly, Jay, I'm going to sit here. We are overdrafting Cam Akers.
100%. And this is a weird analog to make because it's cross sport, but I think Kevin Durant coming back from his Achilles injury and looking so good in basketball has kind of warped our opinion of Achilles injuries and how quickly you can come back, because that is that is the most serious injury that you can basically have in terms of sapping your explosion. Cam Akers had no explosion when he came back in the playoffs. He averaged 2.6 yards per carry. That's not good.
No.
And so I think that when you combine that
but in fairness even though he didn't have the explosiveness, he did have the fumbles.
So,
you know, there was that. Yeah. It was just something, like, you know, like, it, look, I realize I'm plodding along, but at least I'm turning the ball over in enemy territory quite a few times.
Exactly.
So at least there's that, you know.
At least
right?
there is that.
At least there was that.
So I don't want any part of Cam Akers. I don't really want any part of any of these LA running backs because it's just a guessing game. You're just throwing darts and we don't know which one is going to hit. But in terms of the value, I'd much rather have Darrell Henderson or at this point even Kyren Williams than Cam Akers relative to ADP.
We completely agree. You think about Henderson last year from weeks 1 through 8. He was the 7th best running back in fantasy football. He was running back 6 on a points per game basis. Like when Darrell Henderson has gotten run, he's been really good.
He's good.
He's ahead of Cam Akers. And so, again, I don't think Cam Akers suddenly goes away. But at some point, he'll come back. So that's my feeling is that McVay, I think, has evolved his thinking. Like he no longer needs just like Todd Gurley. Like I think he wants to mix and match a little bit. I think all three guys are going to be involved. We agree there that the best value in terms of both previous production, proven production, and ADP, it's Darrell Henderson way over Cam Akers. I did not have Cam Akers on my hate list. I should have. So we will see there. Okay, what's our next topic?
New England Patriots. Are you concerned about the Patriots offense this season? Didn't look good on the weekend. Yeah. Are you changing any of your rankings?
No, because I was already concerned about them. I want Ramondre Stevenson. Yep. I like Ramondre Stevenson.
Team Ramondre.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it on the Patriots. Like Mac Jones is a better NFL quarterback than he is fantasy option. He doesn't run, and they're still going to be a conservative run-first offense. Now, they upgraded their receiving core this offseason. Do I think Devontae Parker has a handful of really nice games this year? I do. But when you think about him, plus Kendrick Bourne, plus Jacoby Myers, plus both the tight ends, plus the running backs, like, you know, with Belichick, like, it's, oh, and we don't know who's calling the plays. I don't even think it matters ultimately. But the fact of the matter is like, in fantasy football, all you're trying to do is narrow randomness, right? I mean, because there's so much that goes that you have no idea about. Can we at least narrow the stuff that we can know about? And with the Patriots, so much is unknown.
Yep.
Like, I'm just, you want to take a late flyer on one of those guys? Like, fine, you know, knock yourself out, you know.
I think they've become the most blah team in the entire league, like real life and fantasy.
Yeah.
Their win total, fittingly, is 8.5 exactly. So pinning them as an exactly 500 team. I do think that the concerns about the offense are a little bit overblown. I think a lot of it in terms of perception is because Matt Patricia, or Matty P, as Mac Jones affectionately called him in his press conference, that he was like late to meetings in Detroit, and he's kind of become a bit of a comical figure. But look, I think this Patriots offense will be okay. Mac Jones is a guy, in terms of what goes into the betting lines, we're extremely high on Mac Jones. We think that real life impact, we have him rated higher than Derek Carr, which I think would surprise some people. But in terms of what he did last season as a rookie, they've still got a good offensive line. He doesn't have great weapons, but he has some. They were the 9th-ranked offense by DVOA last year, 2nd by PFF. This was a solid offense last year. I'd be more worried about their defense because their cornerback room is Jalen Mills and then pray for lots of rain. There's not much there. But look, I think they'll be an 8 or 9-win team. Fantasy-wise, there's not anyone that you can get really excited about outside of Team Ramondre.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll kind of muddle their way through, but we're not expecting, you know, I don't know what you have for Mac Jones's like passing yardage for the season.
Yeah, he's not fantasy friendly because he's going to be sub 4,000 yards. He's not going to get 30 touchdowns.
He doesn't run. He's going to be efficient on a slow paced run first offense. So hard to get excited about any of the pass catchers because, again, we think they'll spread the ball around. Here, we think it'll be a run first offense. So there you go. I'm not concerned about the Patriots offense, but that's because I've already like sort of written them off from a fantasy point of view. All right. There is no easy way to transition to this next topic. But last night we got some terrible news. J.P. Finley, our colleague at NBC Sports in Washington, tweeted this. Commanders rookie running back Brian Robinson has been shot multiple times in a robbery attempt per at NBC Washington. Sources tell me it's non-life-threatening, much more to come. On a much more positive note, recently, just before we went on the air, the Commanders, their own Twitter account, posted this, a message from Brian Robinson. So if we can pop that up real quickly here. Brian Robinson, this is from Brian Robinson's Instagram account, but the Commanders put it on their Twitter. Surgery went well. Thanks for all the prayers. God is great. So, listen, thankful, right? Obviously, a situation that could have been much worse. On behalf of everyone here at the show, we just want to continue to send well wishes and prayers and thoughts to Brian, his family, his teammates, and all of his many fans around the world.
Absolutely.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's been brought to my attention that people are out there using a zero RB strategy. Zero who? Come on, people. Last year, I was on pace to gain 2,000 yards for the second straight year. And now you're trying to cancel me so you can take some extra receivers? Get out of here. So you're telling me you're going to come up to my face and cancel running back? I don't think that'll ever happen.
Shout out to whoever on Yahoo got Derrick Henry to talk about zero RB.
It's good content.
That's amazing. I'm sure Derrick was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. You know, but like, he was a good sport. That was great. So the premise of the segment that our producers have come up with, Jay, when to get off the train.
Yes.
So the idea is like, because, you know, I put this in my love-hate column. I said this about a player that we're actually going to talk about in a little bit here. Basically, I'd much rather jump off the train a year early, or the bandwagon, if you will, whatever you want to call it. I'd much rather jump off a year early than a year too late. So the question is, and you see here by their fancy graphics, they spent all weekend creating that graphic. You can see there that
I was expecting something to really hit my ear.
By the way, and it says when to get off the train. So the G in get is capitalized, but off, the O in, like, it's really weird capitalization, right?
Yeah,
W in win is capitalized. Two is lowercase. G in get is capitalized. Off is lowercase. V is lowercase, and then train is capitalized. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's not grammatically correct.
At least it's
a fancy graphic.
It's like Crazy Stupid Love, you know, the film where the commas is not and.
Anyway. Something's weird, Jay. I don't know. Whatever. In fairness, my producers have a high school education. All right, here we go. So when to get off the train? Derrick Henry kicks us off here. Derrick Henry currently going as running back 4 and 5th overall on Yahoo. I'm at running back 4. I'm 7th overall, slightly lower in the overall, but we both have him at running back 4, so I'll just start with you. Last year, he played in 8 regular season games but missed the rest of the regular season, but did play in the postseason.
Yep.
Just 62 yards, but still, he was able to come back. January 4th, he's going to turn 29 at the end of the season. You in or out on Derrick Henry? Is he hitting the wall for you, or you got one more year?
I'm out. I'm completely out on Derrick Henry, so I think we're going to disagree on this. But
okay.
Here is the thing, and Mike Tanya of Football Outsiders, he wrote a great article on this, but here's my concern with Henry. It's not the injuries, not too worried about that, not even the workload. I think he's as much of an injury risk as anyone else.
Right.
But here's the problem with his explosiveness. Broken missed tackle percentage. So 2019, 21% of his attempts, he broke a tackle or he made a guy miss. 2020, that was down to 15%. Last year, that was down to 9%. In the neighborhood of guys like Chuba Hubbard and Miles Gaskin, who are not Jonathan Taylor. His explosiveness has dropped off progressively each year. I'm concerned about that. He's going to face more stacked boxes than ever before. He doesn't have AJ Brown spacing the field for him. It's going to be an uphill battle for Henry. The offensive line is not elite. I also think they're going to be a worse team than last year as well. I don't think they're going to flirt with the one seed and get it like they did. So, look, we're at the point where I think that in terms of volume, he's going to get that. That raises his floor. I think he's going to produce. He's going to get all the goal line carries. But look, real life, Derrick Henry barely affects the betting line anymore. He might move at a half point. And in terms of fantasy, I would rather have someone like Alvin Kamara. And even, look, I would rather have Henry over Saquon Barkley, but I think you can make the case for someone who's really high upside like that, who offers more in the passing game. So I'm concerned about Derrick Henry.
Prior to going down with injury, Derrick Henry was single-handedly winning people their leagues
last year.
The fact that he was able to come back, and you know, look, whatever, he got 62 yards against Cincinnati Bengals, really good run defense. I hear everything you're saying. And I'm not going to sit here and argue about his explosiveness that I think a lot of wear and tear, I get it. My pro Derrick Henry argument doesn't have a ton of stats to it. It's this. Guy's built differently than every other human being on the planet. Literally every other human being on the planet is one way, and then Derrick Henry is just different. He is built different. His DNA is put together in a way that you and I can only dream of. He is going to, you even acknowledge, he will get the volume. He's going to get massive volume. He is, I don't know what the line is on him to lead the league in rushing touchdowns, but I guess it's not like a crazy bet.
I would say he's second favorite behind Jonathan Taylor. I would make Derrick Henry the favorite to get the most rushing attempts of anyone this season, neck and neck with Jonathan Taylor, and then it would be a drop-off to Nick Chubb and the rest.
So there you go. I mean, so again, he may not be the most efficient. Mm. And you're right, maybe we don't see as many like crazy, like he breaks through the line of scrimmage on the 15-yard line of his own and runs 85 yards for a touchdown.
King Henry,
right? We've seen some of that. Mm. But I don't know that I agree that the Titans offense will be significantly worse from last year. I get the concerns on A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's also missed a lot of time.
He has.
And so they've managed to work through that. The thing that gives me a hope, I think, here for Derrick Henry is I think about last year when Deontay Foreman, I like Deontay Foreman, but Deontay Foreman, like literally a month before he got signed by the Titans, was sitting on his couch hoping for an NFL gig. Mm. And he came in there and he was really productive. Mm. I think the way that scheme is, and they still have Ryan Tannehill under center. I like Robert Woods more than you do. I don't know. I'm in on Derrick Henry. Again, for me, since 2019, in fantasy points per game, he's the second best running back in fantasy. Christian McCaffrey leads all running backs with 26.5 fantasy points per game. We're all in on McCaffrey at 2.
Yep.
Some people are taking him at 1. Mm. So, I don't know. For me, I think just the talent, the volume, and the touchdown opportunity to me makes the argument here over any concerns of like a lack of explosiveness here, because we still think he's pretty good. Again,
he's good. He's definitely good, and he does move the line. Not many running backs materially move the line. Henry still does. And look, I think the betting market is a lot higher on Ryan Tannehill than everyone else. We would prefer if they were throwing the ball more.
Sure,
so Tannehill is really good, but that also helps Henry because Tannehill can move the ball. He still has he's got Robert Woods now. There are other options. Treylon Burks has some upside, so definitely.
They added Austin Hooper, who's a nice pass catching tight end, and they're starting to use Henry more in the passing game. So maybe they get more creative there.
Like, that's where his upside comes from.
Right, right.
Yep.
So I, the premise is like basically, are you bailing on Derrick Henry this year? You know, is it time to get off the train? Mm. For me, no. I think one more year at least with Derrick Henry as an elite RB1.
Okay.
Let's move to
Travis Kelce, who turns 33 in 6 weeks. Are you concerned at all about Mr. Kelce?
I'm not. Again, another guy that sort of seems to be built different. Like, I sort of feel like with most players in the NFL, sometimes they just immediately hit a wall. Mm. But most players, you see a gradual decline. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is a perfect example. But like, he was elite, and then he was good, and then it was like okay, and then it was just like, oh man, you know what I mean? Like, it just like there's a downward trajectory, but it's slow. Mm. Last year, to me, Travis Kelce still was the elite at the position. Mm. He still had a monster year last year. He was the second best tight end in fantasy last year. He was second in a points per game basis. And now with Tyreek Hill gone, I think I have tight end 2 this year, but you can make an argument that among all tight ends that he leads the NFL in receptions, assuming health, he leads the NFL in receptions this year because Mahomes is going to be looking for him, obviously on third down quite a bit. 100 or more targets in 7 straight years.
Yep.
Second longest streak among all tight ends and wide receivers. Mike Evans has 8 straight seasons, but
I think he's about as sure a thing in fantasy as you can get in terms of a high floor because his context gives him that high floor. You've got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, Andy Reid calling plays, a really good offensive line. He's going to produce if he's healthy. And in the history of the tight end position, like, you can produce and have elite seasons in your early 30s. So guys like Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, they had really strong seasons.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we've got Kelce in for 1,050 and a half yards, 8.5 touchdowns. That's perfectly fine. And I think he has some upside potentially even to get to double-digit touchdowns. So I'd be still in on Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I agree there. And by the way, even in reduced snaps, the thing, when Kelsey's on the field, he's running a route.
Yep.
They ain't bringing Kelce into block. So, you know, some of the anti-Kelce arguments are like, well, he's running reduced routes, he's not running. Like, it doesn't matter.
He's also not Randy Moss. He's not dependent on his speed. It's hunting space. It's his size. And yes, he is quick for his position, but I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff.
Correct. We agree there. All right, fine. You got one right and you got one wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Who's
another
next?
One. I think I'm going to get it wrong by your books, too. Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. Are you off the train?
I am. Like, he made the hate list this year. And it's not, it's a little bit of a flawed premise here. Like, I have to pick yes or no. And so since he's on my hate list, I still think Keenan Allen's going to have a really good year. Right? I mean, like, I'm at wide receiver 14. But considering he's going at wide receiver 12 and some people have him as a borderline top 10 play, obviously I'm lower on consensus than him. And you look at my list here on your screen, I am just ahead of Michael Pittman, Allen Robinson, Deontay Johnson. I could see all those guys having better years than Keenan Allen. My concern really about Keenan Allen is less about the talent, because I still think he's really good. He still played pretty high at a pretty high level, right? My concern here is about roster construction, right? And that is that I think that Mike Williams takes the step forward. I think this is the year that Mike Williams becomes the one and he becomes the two. Like we saw it with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. Mm. Adam Thielen was the one. Justin Jefferson's rookie year, Justin Jefferson was the two, Thielen was the one. And then over the course of that year, like, oh, now it's reversed. And so I think that obviously those guys are at different stages of their career, but my expectation here is that Mike Williams, there's a reason they signed him to the big deal in the offseason. Mike Williams becomes the one for this offense that we think is going to have a really big year with the Chargers, and we think Allen becomes the number two. You know, my concern is again, he's had 6 touchdowns in 4 straight years, right? 2020, he had 8, but 3 of the last 4 years, he's had at least 6 touchdowns, literally not more than 6 touchdowns. Like, in 3 of the last 4 years, he's on the wrong side of 30. I don't know. My concern on him is, you know, again, he's a possession receiver. Mm. And we're talking about Yahoo, where it's half point PPR, so the massive volume doesn't help as much. So here's what I'm saying. I'm jumping off the bandwagon at current ADP, not in terms of I think he'll be a productive wide receiver for real life and fantasy this year, but I'm jumping off the bandwagon at current ADP as a wide receiver one.
I think I'm a bit higher on Keenan Allen overall. We talked about him last week relative to Mike Williams, and I'm with you there. I'd much rather have Mike Williams at current ADP, but last year Keenan Allen dropped 9 passes. That was 4th most in the NFL. The 3 years before that, total, he dropped 10 combined. Right. So I think that's fluky, that's noisy, that'll come back.
You don't think it's because he's old and his hands are all brittle? I can't catch passes anymore.
Well, the thing is that 5 years ago, he dropped 11 passes.
Right.
So just out of, he just has these random drop seasons. So I think that'll come down.
It could be a random drop season this year, though.
And also, the main reason that I'm high on Allen is that very high on the Chargers in general, extremely high on Justin Herbert. I've got something to say about Justin Herbert, but I think I'm going to save it for the next segment when we talk about him more specifically.
Look at you, broadcast professional with a tease.
But let's jump into Russell Wilson. And the question posed is, will Russ cook in Denver, or will the Broncos offense fall below expectations?
He will cook.
Okay. Yep. Not worried about the chef's hat kind of falling off.
Let's ride.
Okay.
Like,
let's
ride. What are we doing? Yeah, let's
Broncos,
ride.
Broncos country.
First off, I mean, as we've seen with, you know, the guy in Tampa Bay, quarterbacks can play to a very old age at an elite level. Like, Russell Wilson still isn't that old in quarterback years, right? So maybe there's a concern with Russell Wilson in terms of his rushing. Maybe he doesn't run as much as he did early in his career, and I understand that for his fantasy value, which is why he's a lower-end QB1 than at the higher end with the Lamars and the Kylers and the Josh Allens of the world. We get that. But he's still an elite fantasy quarterback. Still last year prior to the finger.
Look at him leading.
Look at him leading. Look at him without shoulder pads. Look at him.
Look at that lateral quickness.
Look at that. Oh, he still looks fast.
Yeah. No one was.
Yeah, we're showing footage. We are the kings. Our show is the king of showing footage of like guys in like shorts.
He's happy with that.
Yeah, he's very happy with that one. No one's like, look at him high-fiving people.
Really good for morale.
Really good for morale. He's good. Yeah, come on, let's ride.
Universal approval.
Right?
Let's ride.
He's Mr. Unlimited. Here's what I would say, is that Russell Wilson had the ability to stay in Seattle. He had a no-trade clause. So he was able to basically dictate where he went. There were obviously a lot of teams in the NFL that wanted Russell Wilson. Denver made the pitch. He signed on for that. Nathaniel Hackett coming from, you know, another, shall we say, mercurial quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and Aaron Rodgers' MVP season. Russ is like, hey, man, I want to cook.
One
of the reasons I want to get out of Seattle is because they keep making me hand off. Let's open this thing up. And I assure you that you don't bring in Russell Wilson to just hand off to Javonte Williams. Like, he got away with it in Seattle because he's so efficient. Pete Carroll got away with it in Seattle because Russell Wilson was so efficient. But I think if Russell Wilson winds up as a top five fantasy quarterback this year, is anyone shocked?
No. Is anyone shocked if he wins MVP?
No, exactly. So I think, again, the only reason he's going where he is in terms of ADP is because of you know, the lack of potential rushing upside. But, and it's a new team, whatever. But they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. I'm in on Russell Wilson this year.
Yeah, I think the question with Russell Wilson kind of holistically is, why wasn't he allowed to cook in Seattle? Is it something with his game that we just haven't seen, that they needed to run the ball? Or is it more that Pete Carroll feels this like ethical obligation to run the ball because it's his football mindset? I definitely lean the latter. I think that Carroll just kind of locked the kitchen because he's Pete Carroll. And it was to the detriment of the team, and that they should have been throwing more. I think that
Pete Carroll is one of the luckiest coaches in NFL history.
Yeah, well,
it is just my sort of take.
Yeah,
on the
if not for the Butler kind of catch in the end zone, he would really be the luckiest of all time. But look, I think this division is
Pete
brutal.
Carroll admitted himself. Pete Carroll at the press conference, it's like, you know, without Russell Wilson, I'd probably been fired long ago.
Yeah, well, he would have been.
That's actually correct.
Yes. I think that with this AFC West division, which is brutal, it's clearly the best division in football.
Yeah.
That's good for Russell Wilson's fantasy value. He's going to be throwing a lot. And this offensive line is not elite, but it still might be the best offensive line that Russell Wilson has ever played with. And he's got weapons in Sutton, who I know you like, Jerry Jeudy, I know you're lower on, but he has pieces.
Lower on him fantasy-wise, but he's a good wide receiver. He's a good NFL wide receiver. Yeah. Hamler's nice, you know, Albert. Like, they've got nice weapons. And it's also, by the way, it's not going to be a one-dimensional offense. Yep. Between Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to set up play action. Like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Denver plays football this year, but I'm in on Russell Wilson.
Yep. And the other thing to be a little bit concerned about is he wasn't that good last year. In the same way that, like, Lamar Jackson wasn't that efficient. Now, I would just write those off as kind of weird seasons for both of them, and I fully expect both will turn it around. But it is just another little thing to be worried about, that maybe Russell Wilson, who was starting seasons as a top 3-4 favorite for MVP, maybe he's not in that tier anymore with Mahomes, with Brady, with Rodgers. I think he can still get there, but it's still just one thing to watch, I think.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why, by the way, he's going outside the top seven or eight among quarterbacks, not inside the top five. But I think if you left your fantasy draft, if you waited on quarterback and you left your fantasy draft with Russell Wilson as your quarterback, I think you're doing just fine. We will be back. But first, I have to read this promo, which is how to get all of my content. Hey, you're like, hey, I love you, Matthew. I'm learning to tolerate Jay, but I love you, Matthew. Where can I get more Maddie B?
Thanks, Matthew.
And the answer is you can listen live on NBC Sports Audio here on SiriusXM Radio. Of course, you can listen to this podcast 24/7 on everywhere you get podcasts. Watch full episodes and clips of the show on Peacock and on the new NFL on NBC YouTube channel. Be sure to follow me on social media. I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. And of course, if you want my rankings, my love-hate column, my 100 facts, everything else, go to NBCSportsEdge.com. Do you follow me on TikTok?
I don't, but I will. I will, Matthew.
So sad that I had to ask you that. Yeah, I'm talking these days. So, Dwayne McFarland single-handedly killing Josh Jacobs' ADP with this tweet. Look at this. And this guy right here. It's like, do you ever see the old Peanuts cartoons? You know, like with Charlie Brown and Linus. Like, that guy's Linus. Like, have you ever watched all the Charlie Brown cartoons dance? Like, I feel like that's what that guy is. Like, that's unbelievable. And I don't know if you've seen the tweet, but the music that's playing right now is not the music on the tweet, I believe. Like, I think it's music that we can clear. But it's not at all the kind of music that you would expect this crowd to be listening to. There's a lot to unpack with that tweet and that video as we are rejoined here on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Jay Croucher and myself, Matthew Berry. So Josh Jacobs, we're now into our burning question segment of the AFC West. And my question is, Josh Jacobs, will he be a viable fantasy running back this season, or will you just be dancing like that?
It was kind
if
of
you
a,
draft him.
It was kind of a perfect video, right, to encapsulate,
it really was.
Which is why we ran it.
Yeah.
But look, I think Josh Jacobs, there's just too much bad juju around him. A lot of bad juju. And it just, he doesn't have ties to this current regime.
Nope.
Looks like they're going to move on from him. Not really sure who I would want as a running back to replace him in terms of fantasy, but look, same things we talked about with Russell Wilson. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. They have the lowest win total in the AFC West. They got a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. And look, we talk about, you know, guys like Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow suffering from Davante Adams. I think it's more Josh Jacobs and those types who are going to suffer from Adams being there. So, yeah, I don't want any part of Josh Jacobs, and I don't think you do either.
Absolutely not. He made the hate list for me this year. He made the hate list last year. I was right last year. He is somebody that is volume and touchdown dependent. And so he had a better year last year than I think people expected, certainly better than I did. Still wasn't a great year. I mean, he had two 20-point PPR performances, weeks 13 and 18. Like, he sort of kind of got there on volume last year, and he stayed healthy, credit to him. But the fact is that we don't expect the passing game work to be there. He actually got passing down usage last year. And I don't expect that to happen this year. I think Amir Abdullah is going to have the James White role. You think about Josh McDaniels coming from the Patriots, right? There were only three seasons. Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator of the Patriots for 13 years. And in only three of those 13 years did one running back have more than 130 carries. Josh Jacobs has had 130 more carries in every year that he's been a Raider. I just think it's a mix and match sort of thing. I was out there at the Hall of Fame game, you know, the very first game of the season. Like, even the Jaguars, they weren't playing Trevor Lawrence. They weren't playing anyone that they cared about. Like, Derek Carr didn't play. Davante Adams didn't play. Josh Jacobs got the first two series.
He's out there.
We don't care. Whatever. Right? So I'm super nervous. I think it's a running back by committee. I don't think he gets the volume that he needs. And so without the passing game usage, without the volume, touchdowns, it's hard to say. To me, I think he is a fade at his current ADP of running back 22. Yahoo has him going 45th overall. I'm 64th overall. Just to give you an idea, massive disparity between myself and where people on Yahoo are drafting him.
Yeah, I'd rather have A.J. Dillon, just to name one name. J.K. Dobbins, if he's going to be healthy. I was going to ask, though, do you think in America there are two people who spent more time last week talking about Amir Abdullah than you and I did on our show? So I think we gave 7 minutes to Amir Abdullah and Kenyon Drake. But look, I think Amir Abdullah, you know, I think he's going to get that third down work, like you say. And just the last thing on the Raiders, I think
I'd rather invest a late round pick in Zamir White
than a
fifth round pick on Josh Jacobs. Go ahead, what were you saying?
Certainly. I was going to say with Hunter Renfrow, I think people have cooled on because of Davante Adams. They think that Davante Adams is going to cut into his targets, but 195 targets last year went to Zay Jones, DeSean Jackson, Henry Ruggs, and Bryan Edwards. All those guys are gone. So I think that Hunter Renfrow is still going to get a very steady diet. So will Waller. So will Adams. The team's going to throw a lot. So I wouldn't be worried about the receivers there. Now, moving on to the Chargers, the question is on Justin Herbert. Can he eclipse his projected 4,700 yards of passing? Because he's currently the favorite to lead the NFL in passing at plus 650.
See, I think he can. And you know why I think he can? Because he actually has already done it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
5,014 last year.
He's already done it.
Big number.
I mean, again, it's a big number. We have to readjust our brains because there's an extra game here. Like, so all the numbers that you sort of know in your head about, like wow, 4,700 is a lot. And it is a lot. But it's not as much when you've got 17 games to get there.
Plus, teams just pass more now. So you've got the new passing environment and an extra game. So now 4,000 yards is bad, really, for an elite quarterback. So,
And by the way, I mean, like, you breathe on a guy and you get a flag.
Yes.
I mean, like, in terms of the rules that the NFL has instituted are all geared towards making this easier to throw, more of an offensive game, more fun, more fan-friendly, everything like that. So, look, you get asked, like, who are this year's Bengals? And obviously the Chargers didn't win only four. You know, they were right there to the end, you know, they came down to that last game against the Raiders to make the playoffs. Yep. So they're not like a four-win team that can go to the Super Bowl. But what's that team that can take the next step, that can really have an elite offense? And there's a short list of teams. I would say the Colts are on that list. I think the Vikings are on that list, as we've talked about. But the Chargers are absolutely at the top of that list.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think It's what I flagged in the previous segment about Justin Herbert, and here's what I think will shock some people is that in terms of what goes into the betting lines, and you know, we rate every quarterback and how much they add to the line, we rate Justin Herbert as the best quarterback in the NFL. Above Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, everyone. We think he is the best quarterback in the NFL, and here's why. Last year, 5,014 yards, 38 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. That's a pretty good line. He was the unluckiest quarterback in the entire league. No team dropped more passes than the Chargers, and no team or player got more unlucky with interceptions than Justin Herbert and the Chargers. So he was really, really good last year, and he has so much more upside to come. He also did that in his second season.
Right.
So they have so many weapons. They have an improved offensive line. I think the Chargers are a looming juggernaut, and I think that Justin Herbert is a very, very big chance to win MVP this year.
What are the odds of that?
Plus 900. So he's just behind. Yeah, he's just behind Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, who are projected to win more games. But look, Herbert is right there, and I think that we're going to be talking about him in the same breath as guys like Mahomes very, very soon.
I have him at QB 3. I don't have much difference. I have Allen at 1, Mahomes at 2, Herbert at 3, but they're all right there. And I think that if you were doing a dynasty draft today and you took Justin Herbert as the number one quarterback, I don't think people should look at you weird. I get that Josh Allen probably goes number one, and Mahomes, that's probably how it goes in dynasty. Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, they're all right there, you know, especially in Superflex leagues. But Herbert is, again, a little bit younger, and I'm with you.
As
good a quarterback.
Rushing threat as well.
As the rushing threat as well. Not like Josh Allen, but he does. He is more mobile than he gets. By the way, just to be clear, just to clear something up for our audience here, when you say Justin Herbert got unlucky last year, you're talking about football. You're not talking Zach Wilson type lucky. Yeah. You're talking about specifically football, you know, related things that, you know, just
I don't think Justin Herbert got unlucky on that front either.
No, probably not. I mean, who knows? We don't know.
No.
You know, but, you know, anyway, like Zach Wilson, a very lucky quarterback last year in some aspects.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert,
some
unlucky last year.
Aspects.
Right. So, exactly. Let's move on now to Kansas City. And so much has been talked about. We talked about Kelce in the last segment, and so much has been talked about, you know, the moving on of Tyreek Hill, and is it going to be Juju, and how, you know, is Sky Moore a thing, and what about MVS, and where does Mecole Hardman fit in, blah, 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 blah. A lot about that. But to me, I think the Chiefs running backs is probably the biggest question for fantasy managers these days. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's going the highest among all running backs, 27th on Yahoo. I'm at 34. He's going 61st overall. I have him at 91. So you can tell I'm out on CEH. Isaiah Pacheco, who's become a thing this preseason, 7th-round pick. He's going as running back 51 on Yahoo, 150th overall. I'm at 64. And then Jerick McKinnon, who was not ranked by Yahoo, is not being drafted. I'm at running back 60. So where are you on these Chiefs running backs?
Yeah, I'm out. I think two of the past 3 years, there hasn't been a single Chiefs running back to go for more than 558 yards. And so I think that we're in for year 3 out of 4 of that. I think the days of Jamaal Charles and Kareem Hunt are clearly over. This is a heavy passing offense. I want to like Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he was taken high in the draft, and he is the presumptive number one back on a team that is going to score maybe more than any team in the league. I want to like him to win the rushing title like 150-1, but I just can't get there because he's not going to. It's going to be a committee. It's going to be all of these guys who are racking up between 400 and 600 yards. And fantasy-wise, I think it's just a graveyard, and I would stay away.
I agree. I think it's going to be a running back by committee on a team that wants to be pass-heavy. Mm. It's going to be a pass-first team. Again, sort of similar to what we were talking about with the Rams the other day, right? If you're going to take a stab at this particular team, like, why not, or even, I guess, the Rams segment one, that all runs together. Sorry. What we were talking about with the Rams in segment one, which is, like, give me the lower guy. Yep. Like, I'll take a dart throw on Isaiah Pacheco late at my draft, a dart throw on Jerick McKinnon, who I think is going to be used more. Like, he looked good during the playoffs last year. McKinnon did. And I think he could be more of the passing down back. Here's the thing. If Isaiah Pacheco becomes a thing, and I think there's still some questions about his patience and his vision going back to his days at Rutgers, but if he can learn that and become a thing, then okay. CEH is never going to become the lead running back of the Chiefs. Like, he's had that opportunity. He hasn't grasped it. And so there's a chance. I don't know how good it was because they like CEH on some level, and they're going to use McKinnon. But there's a chance that at some point in the second half of the year, Pacheco becomes the guy and is getting all the goal line work. And so – I don't mind taking a flyer there, PPR league. I don't mind a deeper PPR league. I don't mind a flyer on Jerick McKinnon. I'm not convinced Ronald Jones makes this team.
No. There's too many questions about the running back committee in general. I agree that Pacheco is the guy that you want just because he has the upside and just because there's no really daunting incumbent. Right. Like there is for someone like Isaiah Spiller when he comes back from injury. You can't really displace Austin Ekeler. You can displace Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So there is that rookie upside.
There's a path to playing time for Isaiah Pacheco. But again, we think it's a three-headed monster on a team that's going to throw.
Definitely. Okay, Denver Broncos. Will Javonte Williams be a league-winning running back?
I'll ask you another question. Will Melvin Gordon get hurt this year?
Well, here's the thing, right, is that the reason I love Javonte Williams is that he has a high floor. I think his worst-case scenario, health permitting, is basically what he did last year, which was fine. Then he also has a high ceiling. Because if Melvin Gordon gets hurt, how many guys are more valuable in fantasy than Javonte Williams? Without Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, anyone else?
Maybe Eckler.
Maybe Eckler.
Okay. Maybe Eckler, maybe a healthy Dalvin Cook, a healthy Derrick Henry.
But he's in the mix.
He's in that conversation.
Yep.
He's in that top five running back conversation. There's no question about it. I think everyone in fantasy was ready to put Javonte Williams in their top five, and then Melvin Gordon re-signed with the Broncos.
Yep.
And so, now, look, Nathaniel Hackett has talked about the fact he's talked up Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon has said they want to make Javonte the guy. And then on August 24th, so last week, Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett said, quote, "This is about Melvin Gordon, mind you. When he comes out there, he looks like a big, strong running back, and we're just excited to feed him the rock and give him the ball a lot." Again, this was a committee last year. My guess is, and I don't know where the betting lines have it at the moment, but I would say if I had to pencil in a projection, I would say 65-35,
yep.
Williams to Gordon. Like, they do want Williams to be the guy, and he's the more explosive player at this part of their career. But Melvin Gordon last year looked pretty good, looked in good shape. And so I think, look, I'm at running back 15. He's going at running back 14 overall. Like, that's where he is. I think he's a mid-tier RB2, but to your point, he has potentially league-winning upside if something were to happen to Melvin Gordon. The problem, you just can't know.
No, you can't know. And look, the thing with Javonte Williams is, talked about Derrick Henry and the broken missed tackle percentage back in segment two. Javonte Williams led the league in that statistic last season. He was basically the most explosive running back in terms of breaking tackles and making guys miss. So he clearly has the talent. If he has the opportunity, then he can win your league.
Now, yeah, Javonte Williams is going around like he's going around with where Ezekiel Elliott is, where a little bit at, like, you know, basically a round ahead of Cam Akers. And, yeah, I mean, like, in terms of the guys of where he's going behind Leonard Fournette. You could make, you know.
I'd rather have Javonte because of the upside.
There's upside there.
Now,
Fournette's probably safer, but yeah.
The last question on the Broncos, Cortland Sutton v. Jerry Jeudy. I think we're aligning Cortland Sutton being the guy there.
Cortland Sutton, we've seen it before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Cortland Sutton was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver in 2019. He had Joe Flacco and Drew Locke as his quarterbacks. And so massive upgrade. As we've talked about, think about, again, Cooper Kupp last year. Don't underestimate the ability of a quarterback upgrade to improve a fantasy wide receiver's production. My concern on Jerry Jeudy, he's had 169 targets last year. He had 3 touchdowns.
It's not great.
He had no touchdowns his rookie year. He's been in the NFL for 2 years. I think 26 games he's played. He's got 3 touchdowns. Like, again, I get it. He's had bad quarterback play. But for someone drafted as high as he was, with a pedigree he had coming out of college, to have only 3 touchdowns through 2 NFL seasons?
Yep. You want to say more. And it's not like Teddy Bridgewater was awful
last
season. He was totally fine.
Right, exactly.
And the other thing, too, is Russell Wilson. What does he do well? What does he do better than any other quarterback in the league? He throws deep. I think that helps Cortland Sutton's skill set more than Jerry Jeudy. So I'm with you.
Again, if you want to, like, sort of, like, kind of lazy, you know, lazy analysis here, but if you sort of look at what Russell had in Seattle, like, Cortland Sutton is built a lot more like DK Metcalf, and Jerry Judy's a little bit more like Tyler Lockett, and that's probably how this works out. Will there be some good games, some boom-bust games for Jerry Jeudy? Sure, but in terms of consistent production, the guy that is probably most likely to get red zone looks, it's Cortland Sutton. So give me him over Jerry Jeudy, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Yep, agreed.
All right, appreciate that. We agree. You got some stuff right there. We'll be back.
Trending up.
Trending up for young Jay Croucher.
Thank you.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Are you on the TB12 diet?
I'm on the chicken finger diet.
Okay, I like that.
No, is what I am. Yeah, no, exactly. I'm on the chicken finger and Choco Taco diet.
Rest in peace, Choco Taco.
I've been hoarding them. All right, it is the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's. Rolls off the tongue. This is my diet versus Tom Brady's diet. Skinless chicken, you know, he's got the kale chips, everything like that.
The goji berries.
But, yeah, I mean, cheese pizza, lobster rolls, Choco Tacos, Diet Coke. I prefer bacon burgers, not cheeseburgers. But chicken fingers are there, absolutely pizza. I eat a lot of bacon and eggs in the morning. I'm big with like a bagel, you know, with a bacon and egg sandwich.
Yeah, it's good.
As well.
And you drink Diet Coke. You don't drink coffee, right?
No, I don't drink coffee. I do have water, but normal water, not coconut water. I've never had a goji berry.
I don't even know what that is.
How can you pronounce that pasta?
The quinoa?
Quinoa. Okay. The MB method. How to do what you love better and for longer. There you go. That's me. Look at that.
That's a horrible graphic.
Horrible. Look at that hair.
That's terrifying.
Look at, poor Tom Brady.
That's a Friday the 13th.
The MB method. Look.
This is an incredible segment.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is like, I'm going to steal a joke from my old friend Phil Palisol. But in essence, like, look, here's the way. Phil has this great joke where he says, you know, hey, I went to the doctor. The doctor says, you know, hey, Phil, you could add 2 years to your life if you just cut donuts out of your diet.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? He goes, you know, my way, I eat donuts till I die. Your way, I got to go an extra 2 years without donuts. How does this make sense? Anyway, when Phil tells us, it's a great joke. So I sort of feel like that way. Like my way, I eat all these chicken fingers till I die. I got TB12's way. I got to go an extra couple years, you know, eating kale chips.
So we've had a couple of lunches together.
We have, correct.
Every single time you've ordered chicken fingers.
That's true.
And then one time when we did the Roto World mock draft, we didn't have time to really plan our food. And so they just brought out lobster rolls for us. And you didn't have a bite of your lobster roll. So for my... Yeah. Knowledge, all you do is eat chicken fingers, and it's the only thing in your diet.
Here's what I'll tell you, a couple of things. First off, it wasn't a good lobster roll. I didn't want to throw anyone out, but like it got really spicy. Like, I like lobster rolls, and it was a bad lobster roll. It also was tough because we're doing the dumb draft.
Yeah.
We're doing this Roto World draft, and I'm trying to eat a lobster roll while we're doing this draft where you and I are picking together. We've never drafted a team together, and it's like a 1 minute on the clock, and I have to host, right? Because Kay Adams was supposed to host, and unfortunately she fell ill. Feel better, Kay. But anyway, so now I'm like hosting, and I'm not even a good host. And so now I'm trying to host and draft with you and drag your ass along because you don't even want to draft. You know, give me Keenan Allen and whatever. And so, and I'm trying to do all that, and I'm trying to mix. And we've got like four guests, all of our Roto World reunion. And so it was all terrible. And like, I've got lobster juice all over me, and I'm not doing that. So, yeah, so that's what I did. And then in terms of the other chicken fingers, we're here at the CAF, and I've just learned, I'm starting to learn my way around the NBC cafeteria, right? And the fact of the matter is, here's the great thing about chicken
fingers.
They're
not going to have you back.
You can't screw up chicken fingers.
Yeah.
Like, you go to a bar, you go to whatever, you go to some sketchy place you're not sure of.
High floor.
You can't, exactly. You can't screw up chicken fingers.
Low ceiling.
Low ceiling, whatever. But you throw them in the fryer, and they come out, and you know what? They're chickeny. Mm. There you go. Mm. So what we have here, here's what we have. We have we've got menus. We've got Applebee's menus because we are company men. Hmm. They've got the two for 37, any of these full-size entrees. Which one would you want?
Well,
which two?
I think the Bourbon Street Chicken and Shrimp. I think that orders itself. That's your workhorse.
I agree.
That's your Jonathan Taylor.
I was going to pick that one.
You were. And then just kind of, I kind of want to take a home run swing, kind of like a Rashad Penny type of run.
Sure.
The Applebee's Riblets plate.
Interesting.
That would be my other one. Yeah.
The blackened tilapia looks interesting. I might go the 6 ounce sirloin.
I just want to say tilapia on it.
Yeah, fair enough. Double crunch shrimp. I'd probably go with the double crunch shrimp. They do have a chicken tenders basket. I like that as well. But the double crunch shrimp.
See, the chicken tenders, I would have made that the kind of the minus 175 favorite that was going to come out of your mouth, given how it's so adjacent to chicken fingers.
Well, I understand. But, I want you to understand it's not just fried chicken that I ate. I also eat fried shrimp.
Yeah, okay. Diverse.
Diversity
to the diet.
Like, I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
I mix it up. All right, what do you eat? We've been through it. You know, the Vegemite, you like meat pies.
I like meat pies a lot. That's the only thing I really miss. Because people ask me, like, what's Australian food? There is no Australian food.
Right.
Australia's been around for like 120 years. There's no food. There's nothing there. But that's the good thing about America is that there are lots of options, lots of size as well. I'm still terrified.
You grew up in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Melbourne. When did you come to the States?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
So
just
a
3 years ago.
In Jersey City and then Denver.
And then Denver.
Yeah, and now Stamford.
And now Stamford, Connecticut. We're thrilled to have you. What has been the most, what is something that you discovered that you really like when you came to America that you did not know? Like, that, you know, like whatever. You're over in Australia. Mm-hmm. You're watching whatever, Yahoo Serious and Point Blank. All the time.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, you've got Men at Work's greatest hits going over and over again. You know, like whatever. You're doing, right, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to all these Olivia Newton-John, costume parties. I get it. I get it. I understand. So what did you discover when you got here?
I'm not sure this is going to really resonate with audiences, but America does Brussels sprouts incredibly well. Because it's really, there's a lot of giggling.
You've lost the worst answer ever.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a Brussels sprout in my life.
But they do it differently here. Because in Australia, Brussels sprouts are like something that your parents force feed you and it's really healthy. Here you lather it up in God knows what. It's in all different
butter types
of sauces and really kind of unique exotic spices. So I'm all in on Brussels sprouts relative to ADP. Huge on Brussels sprouts. But yeah, I mean, outside of chicken fingers, is there a number two? A kind of Christian McCaffrey on your list?
I ate a ton of pizza.
Okay.
I've described, here's what I will tell you. My diet, very simply, I'm a 12-year-old with a wallet.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That coheres with everything I've said.
Yeah, 1,000%. I have a very simple diet.
Yeah.
I like what I like. My wife gets mad at me for not trying new things. And I'm just like, you should be happy that I'm not trying new things. You should like the fact that I'm loyal,
I
stick with what I like.
Consistency.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Easy to plan for.
Right. We go to a restaurant. My wife's like, why don't you try that? I go, because you know what? I've been to this restaurant and I get this and I like it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm getting a good meal every single time.
Yes.
Half the time my wife goes and she'll order. She's like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, well, I'm having a good meal. Because you know what? I got a steak and I like steak.
Yeah.
You know, I got a lobster.
It's a dream because your favorite meal retails for like $6.99. That's incredible.
Listen, you guys, served by Applebee's. Welcome. Welcome to the happy hour. We got to find out what the happy hour specials are at Applebee's.
Well, but my favorite is the Mucho cocktails. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the blue Aloha margarita.
Oh.
Look at that. Look at that shade of blue. It's kind of more of a guy with turquoise.
Can we get some of those in here?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I demand some Applebee's Blue Hawaii drinks in here. All right, we're back tomorrow. Peace out!
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.